Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday night. Amen. For almost 30 years, every Sunday, I have been in church by the grace of God. Never backslidden, and by His grace. And I'm always looking forward to being in church on Sunday night. And especially coming to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Pastor Wash and his people, one of the most exciting music churches I've known. And I was telling Pastor Wash when I walked in the church, I heard the choir in practice. And boy, that sounds like they really want to worship the Lord. And praise the Lord for that. I have a big burden for music in the church. I've learned something very important. And I thank the Lord for my wife. She's music talented. I taught her well, amen. I'm just kidding. She has that talent with music. She plays, she sings. And for the last, 2012, for the last 3 years, we have been praying and trying to come up with some money to save, to help her to make a CD in Spanish. She's here in Mexico. And we've been praying, and just the last months, the Lord opened a door and provide some funds for my wife to make a CD in Spanish. And next month, actually this month, no, sorry, next month, July, on our way to Mexico, we're going to stop in North Carolina, and she's going to make a CD in Spanish. So I said, you pray for that project. I want this project to honor Him, because it's for Him. Music is for Him. I was talking to Pastor Wash earlier, and I asked him a couple of questions about music. And just in the last days, perhaps right now, I'm in the middle of reading the book of Psalms. But have you ever thought about what the importance of music in serving in the ministry and in the church is all about? To understand that before God created man, there was music in heaven. And then when we all die and go to heaven, that's what we do for eternity. We will praise the Lord. Music, amen? So I believe God's going to use this project, and please pray for my wife as she's going to do this CD. But for the last 4 years, we were serving in Mexico, and I want to thank you for praying for our ministry. Thank you, church, for praying for us and for supporting our ministry, for supporting my family. In the last 4 years, we have been able to help to start two churches and also working a little with my home pastor in Mexico. He runs a large church. He also runs a Bible Institute. And I was meditating this not too long ago. And the many men that I have able to help train in the last 4 years. I'm a missionary on his way to Nicaragua. We've been helping him too. But in the churches that we have started, we currently support 5 missionaries. And this church is only 3 years old. But I want to start the right way, teaching the people to think worldwide, because that's everybody's command, to reach all the world. And I'm in Mexico, of course, reaching Mexican people, but my ultimate goal is to reach everybody. I often say, this is my testimony in one statement. I am a nobody telling everybody about somebody as the Lord Jesus Christ. And to Him we're serving. To Him we will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ, and it's all about Him, amen? So before I come and preach, my wife's going to sing a special, and we pray that this special will magnify Him first and be a blessing to you. Cheers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mija, for that beautiful song. And my wife, it's been a blessing to me. Next month, we have our 13-year anniversary. 13 or 12? 13. I'm just kidding. And I thank God for my wife, and my four children are traveling with me. Two of them half asleep. Are you? No, he's awake now. My son was sleeping a little bit. I have a long day today. We've been driving all day since this morning we left. And I'm sorry, yesterday we left, but this morning we drove to the church, and then we came here. So I want to introduce them to you. Can you stand up, sweetheart, Kyla? That's my oldest. That's Kyla Rose. She's 11. I call her my miracle baby. She was born almost 11 years ago. Perhaps tomorrow, she was supposed to be born tomorrow, 11 years ago. But she was prematurely born at only 24 weeks of my wife's pregnancy. She was a preemie baby, 1-pound baby, a total miracle. We went to visit the doctors last week here at Grosser Hospital near Philadelphia. The very same doctor who told us that she will not survive. It was the same one who, at the end, he told me, I don't know how to explain this, but Sergio, I just know that you have the help of God. And I said, praise the Lord. It's a good testimony. To him is all the glory and honor. So that's my daughter, Kala. Sit down, sweetheart. And then my son, Joseph. Get up, Joseph. Joseph, he's half asleep. He's my son, Joseph. He's 7, and he's my only son. I name him Joseph because I like the name Jose in Spanish. No, I'm just kidding. That's a famous name in Mexico, but I like Joseph because Joseph is my favorite Bible character. Chill out, Mike. And then we have the twins. Are they awake? They're asleep. Kimberly and Caitlin, they're the twins. And they're, we call them double trouble. They're twins. And they're a blessing. They're so sweet. And that's my beautiful family. That's my main team in Mexico. Please pray for us as we go back. We will be driving to South Mexico. Begin our long trip at the end of the month of June. So little by little, we want to go through from the northeast to central Mexico. It's a 40-hour drive. And I say that you please pray for our protection, especially when we cross the border. We used to, the same vehicle we have right now is parking in your parking lot. And if you notice, that's the only car with Mexican plates, amen, license plates. That'll be us, amen. So that car, we used to drive that car with a U.S. plate from Pennsylvania because we ride from here. And I thought that was kind of like not very wise because when Mexican people see an American car with Mexican plates and they see an American lady, we become targets right away. They want to get money from us, and I learned that the hard way. So that's why we have no Mexican plates here, even in America. But please pray for our safety in Mexico when we cross the border. We always covet your prayers for safety, protection, and also for God's provision when we get there. And thank you so much for all these years supporting our ministry. Thank you so much. You've been part of our ministry. And when I came to you last time, I showed you the pictures of the ministry that we have and all that because you pray for us and you support our ministry. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Let's go to the Bible book of Luke 17. Luke 17. And in the first 10 verses, I find here a very, very special instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible with the words in red, of course, that's because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke those words when he was on this earth. And there, Luke chapter 17, verse number 5, is a request that the disciples made to the Lord. The Bible says, verse number 5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. What a request. Two times in the Bible, the disciples request something special for the Lord Jesus Christ. One was teach us to pray. And boy, if we need to pray also. We need to learn how to pray. I plead with you to pray for us because we need your prayers. But at the same time, I'm also challenging myself and my own family, my children. I want my children to learn how to pray. I want them to know how to get a hold of God. We all need to know how to pray. But here in this request, now they are requesting something more specific. Something with action that requires to it. And that is to increase our faith. Can I tell you to start right away? that that's one thing that we need the most to increase our faith. You say, Brother Robles, but I've been a member of the church for so many years. You need to increase your faith. Brother Robles, I've been preaching the gospel for the last 30 years. You need to increase your faith. This is admonition for everybody, and you will find out as I develop this thought of increasing our faith. We need to increase our faith. It doesn't matter how old you've been in the Christian life. We need to increase our faith, no matter what is your position, to increase your faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Very simple. It is impossible to please God without faith. So how can we increase our faith? It's admonition for everybody here tonight. So I have seen some steps according to Luke chapter 17. But let me just tell you this to understand the importance of faith in our Christian life. There in Ephesians chapter 6, Apostle Paul commands us to wear the whole armor of God. Describes there the helmet of salvation. Also describes the breastplate of righteousness. Then our loins girt with the truth, as a picture of belt of truth. Then the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there's the shield of faith. And one verse it says, above all, it says, the shield of faith. It's very important to wear the shield of faith. You will not be able to fight this spiritual battle without the shield of faith. The Bible says, above all, the shield of faith, which the one is used to protect from all darts of Satan. That's how important is the shield of faith. Now, before I go into the message, I want to tell you a story from the Old Testament that really, really applies to the faith that you and I need to increase.
Let's see if that helps.
All right. Can you hear me now better? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Wash. That's helpful. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, that's the story of King Solomon. King Solomon was the richest king on the face of the earth at any time. He was the wisest man, according to the Bible. And one statement in 2 Chronicles, the Bible says that there was no kingdom like his. I hope you can agree with me. King Solomon had the greatest kingdom, earthly kingdom on this earth. And the Bible says there in 2 Chronicles, he was so powerful, his kingdom was so rich. There was a queen of Sheba. She heard of his fame, and she wanted to find out for herself. She came and began to study the king of Solomon. The Bible says that when the queen came, she had some hard questions for Solomon. And Solomon, with all the wisdom that God gave him, was able to answer all her questions, hard questions, if you please. And then Queen Sheba came to the statement. She said, "Man, all that I heard about you is not even half of what I was seeing. Truly, you are the greatest king of Israel." And the Bible says, goes on and says how powerful his kingdom was. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 9:13, it says, "Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold." I made the study of that gold and the value of that gold in our terms today. That's about, in one shield, of course, not even mention all the gold that came to his kingdom every year. The Bible also says that. But King Solomon was so rich and powerful that he was able to make shields of gold. Verse number 16, it says, "And 300 shields made he of beaten gold. 300 shekels of gold went to one shield." You know what's the value of one shield of gold according to these measurements? $400,000 in one shield. Just to give you an idea of the powerful kingdom that he had. He had the luxury to make shields of gold. Okay? Now, I go now to chapter 12. When Solomon, the richest king on the face of the earth, passed away, his son Rehoboam took the kingdom. It says in verse number 1, chapter 12, 2 Chronicles, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. That's a powerful statement I just read for you. You know what happens when you forsake the Lord? Has some consequences. It says very clear here, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Then in verse number 5, at the end it says, the statement, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Verse number 9, so Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all, he carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. I don't think this is a coincidence. God on purpose mentions how when you forsake the Lord, when you forsake the law of the Lord, he's going to also leave you. That's what it says here. And what a coincidence, he causes king of Egypt, Shishak, to come and spoil the king of Israel. It takes all the values, including the shields of gold. You know what's the picture of? Your faith. The main thing that Satan will take from you when you get away from God, he will take your faith. Because he knows the importance of the faith in your life. That's why I want to plead with you tonight to pay attention and to guard your faith. And specific to help you how you can increase your faith according to Luke 17. So we go to Luke 17. I pray and ask God's blessing, and we go on to Luke 17. Father, please help us as we come to the study of thy word, the preaching of thy word. Lord, will you please help me to be a voice to your word? Lord, I know how Satan has attacked my faith. And I know how Satan will be pleased to diminish and erase the faith of every believer in this room. Lord, we need you so much. We need desperately to increase our faith. If we want to continue this race, we must increase our faith. So help us to do so, Lord. Teach us with thy word. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. The disciples made the request, Lord, increase our faith. And I picture here the Lord Jesus Christ, when he heard the statement, I picture him being so excited. Let me give you an idea. When my twins were in the process of being potty trained, I remember my wife, he called me and said, I got a surprise for you. I said, well, what is it? I said, I'm not telling you until you get home. And my wife loves to do that too, all the time. She told me the same thing when she discovered she was expecting twins. Can you believe that? I came home one time, it was late at night, and to tell me that we're expecting twins. Wow, what a surprise. That was a blessing, amen. But anyway, she told me this time, I got a surprise for you. And I said, what is it? She said, I'll tell you when you come home. I said, no, I'm not waiting. You did it to me one time, not the second time. And she began to tell me it was about my children being potty trained. Now, you have to understand, we're parenting two babies, but being potty trained, and that means I don't have to spend more money on diapers. Amen? That's extra money, amen? So when she told me that, I got happy because I want my children to mature. Can you imagine having twins, 5 years old, they still wearing diapers? That's embarrassing. For them, maybe for us. The benefits for them and for me, because I don't have to spend the money. So when she told me that, I was excited. Hey, you're going to mature. Praise the Lord. Now imagine the disciples here. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Don't you think Jesus got excited? He knows that without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's why the Lord, okay, I'm glad you asked, because I want you to increase your faith. It is how you increase your faith. He goes on and gives a very powerful illustration. It says here in verse number 6 and 7, it says, but which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank thy the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You probably will not be able to understand this illustration until you learn really what is the farm work all about. Because he uses the illustration of a servant plowing and also feeding cattle. That's a farm work. Somebody who works on the field. You probably have, maybe some of you work the field and you have an idea. But here in this illustration, it's a powerful illustration to teach us tonight the secret and the way we increase our faith. You know what it's like in this illustration? Hard work. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody in this room would be a Christian full of faith, with faith that moves mountains. But you know why we don't have faith, that kind of faith? Because it is hard. I didn't say impossible, it's hard. It's possible because God makes it available for us. But how you increase your faith? Well, he says, picture a servant coming back from plowing and feeding cattle. Hard work and also dirty work. I've done it. My grandfather is a farmer in South Mexico. And every summer, my dad would take me to his house. And my father had a great conviction that will be helpful for us today. You know what he thought? He said, every male in my house, if you're under my roof, and you're a man, you want to eat, you work. He taught me that. You want to eat, you work. I was 7, 11 years old. I was a teenager. Every day when I was in his house, he took me to the farm. And he taught me how to work. He taught me how to sow seed. He taught me how to sow beans. And then, of course, raise beans and all the things. He taught me how to milk the cows. I know how to do that when I was just 11, 12 years old. You know what happens when you feed cattle? When you milk cows and you feed the swine, you know what happens? You stink. I remember that. I would come home, my mom would not feed me until I shower. Because even after I shower, I would still stink as the cows and the pigs. But it's a good picture here of being humble, by the way. It's all connecting here. It's hard work, it's dirty work, but I love what it says here. He pictures this as a servant and a master. You know what's the key ingredient to increase your faith? Are you ready for this? Become a servant. Serve. Forget about yourself. And do something for God, first of all, and then for others. That's the key here. A servant. And I like the way he describes it because it was like in a scale. He's talking first to the immature Christians, those who never do anything in church, those who are always expecting people to do something for you. And he says, you want to increase your faith? Well, step number one, become a servant. Get rid of yourself for a little bit. Be concerned with others. And then number two, for those who are serving in the church already, say, well, bless God, I'm a bus captain. You know, I sing in the choir, and I teach at Sunday school. Well, I got news for you. You also need to increase your faith. Because the Bible says here that a servant, he says here, when he's come from the field, I would not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Listen to the statement that he thanked the servant because he did the things that were commanded him. I throw not. I throw not. That statement in layman terms means I don't think so. You don't have to be thankful. And I'm afraid that some Christians were serving in the ministry, but we are doing it for the wrong reason. We're expecting people to say, wow, good job. You're expecting the pastor to give a recognition to your labor that you're doing for the Lord, of course, but you want people to know. Here the Bible says, when you do those things that you are commanded him, we don't have to thank you. you're a servant. That word servant, the Greek word doulos, which means slave. So I got news for you, servant of Christ in the ministry. When you're serving in the church, whatever you do in the church, whatever you sing or play instrument, you run a bus route, you teach a Sunday school, whatever you do in the church, you sweep, you clean, you do it for the Lord, not for nobody else. And rather somebody give you recognition or give you a word of thankfulness, you're not doing it for the person, you're doing it for Christ. And the Lord who sees in the secret rewards in public. I learned that the hard way. I remember in my early years of my Christian life, serving in the ministry, I used to drive a bus while I was in college. I used to get up about 3 a.m. in the morning, just to go get a bus, go to South Chicago, and get a bus, and then drive to the college in Indiana, and then pick up all the workers, and then pick up workers, and then go back to Chicago and drop them off in their areas where they will pick up buskies and bring them to church. I literally drove all day on Sunday. And then driving Sunday night, and then going back to Chicago to drop the kids, and then come. I used to come home about 2 a.m. of Monday already. That's a long day driving. I was tired, and the thought came to my mind a couple of times, and said, why are you doing this anyway? Nobody knows that you're here 2 a.m. Those baskets in Chicago, they don't appreciate what you do. They cannot pay you back what you do. You know why I realized? I was not doing it for nobody but for the Lord. And the Lord who knows the secret will reward you in public. Who are you serving? Are you serving Pastor Wash? I'm pretty sure Pastor Wash has the ethics. I know Pastor Wash is a good pastor. And I like the work, the things he does here first class. And I know he's a good pastor and recognizes his people. But bottom line, you're his serving the Lord, not Pastor Wash. You are his. And whether Pastor Wise recognized your labor or not, you should keep going serving the Lord. I wish you were like my father, my dad. My dad is in Mexico. He helps me. He is the one overseeing the ministry on my absence while he's on furlough. But my dad, he's been a faithful worker in the ministry. He's been a deacon for almost 30 years. He's been a Sunday school teacher for the same class for almost 30 years. Do you think that in those 30 years, somebody had offended him? Somebody had not recognized his labor? I tell you this because he has told me he has been close to quit the ministry because whatever offense may come, but that. And I said, Dad, why have you not quit? He said, because I'm doing it for the Lord, for him. If I was doing this for the pastor, I quit a long time ago. If I've been doing this for anybody in the church, I have quit a long time ago because they don't know what I do. They don't know my labor. They don't know what I go through. They don't know my suffering. They don't know the price I have to pay. But praise God, God knows every pain, every suffering, and every situation that nobody knows, but he knows. And that's why you will continue doing it for years, for decades, and bless God until you die. Because you did it for him. You will stand before him to give an account of your labor. And by the way, this morning I heard a good lesson on the judgment seat of Christ, and the thought came into my mind and say, maybe one of the main factors of that judgment seat of Christ is our works being tried with fire. Our main ingredient will be faith. Not fake faith, but real faith. That kind of faith I'm talking about here. When you serve the Lord for the right reason. And then last, I'm pretty sure in this church, there's people who labor and have the kind of faith that you have forgotten about yourself. And you have stepped to the faith where you're serving for the right reason. And that's why this church continues and goes on. Because there's people in this church who have learned to serve the Lord first and then others. But can I tell you, even when you have served for the right reason, look what the Bible says here. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Let me speak to those who serve in the ministry here. Those who faithfully for years and decades have read their Bible every day, have prayed. For those who have served in the ministry, have taught Sunday school, maybe served in the music program, maybe preached the word, maybe the missionaries on the field who've been there laboring. And you know what the Lord says? I want you to have this mind. You are unprofitable. That's what the Bible says here. Please don't get offended with me. I'm just quoting what the Bible says. Have you felt offended if I tell you this? You are unprofitable servant. That's what God wants you to think. After you have been serving faithfully, you know why he says that? Because he wants those serving come to the maturity of their faith, to come to the point when they are profitable. Now, what's the difference here? Unprofitable and profitable. Unprofitable are those who are serving, are doing those things which I commanded to you. All those things that I mentioned, reading your Bible, praying, serving faithfully, they're commandments. But then God says here, you're unprofitable. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be a profitable. I want to be counted for, to make the difference in the ministry for the Lord and the kingdom of God. And you know when you become a profitable servant? Listen to the statement. When you do those things that you're not required to do. As the Lord Jesus Christ put it in the New Testament, when you go the second mile. That's when we're talking in business here. When you give more than you're required to give. Boy, I have met some Christians like that, and I respect them so much. I met some Christians who they should not be doing what they're doing in despite of their suffering, in despite of what in the inconvenience of their health, and they're still at it. I've seen them. And I feel so humble when I see that. I see, good night, I have the strength. I have maybe more possibility to do those things, and they're the ones doing it. Why is that? I tell you why. Because they have become profitable servants. Because they're not required to do that, but they still do it. The average Christian in America, pastor has to be behind you to push you to do something for the Lord. Pastor has to beg you from the pulpit to do something for the Lord. Somebody has to maybe require you to do something. That's because your faith has not come to that level. But bless those Christians who are doing those things that you're not required to do. Those are servants of God. That God is seeing them as profitable. So there's admonition here for everybody, I think. First of all, to those who are so immature in the Christian life, you are not serving nobody. That'll tell you how your faith is. That's why I know now why James says in the Bible that faith without works is dead. Because it requires works. Let me ask you something. Are you serving the Lord? What are you doing in your church? With the talents God has given you. That will speak about your faith. Number two, if you're serving, are you serving for the right reason? Are you serving Him first? Are you doing it because you want to be recognized? I'll tell you something. What I'm doing on the mission field with my family, you know, whether you know or not, I'm serving Him. I don't have time to be what I'm doing. Because to the end, I will give an account to myself, Lord Jesus Christ. And if I do those works with love and faith, I believe those are the works that will endure, will not be consumed at the judgment seat of Christ, and I will receive a reward. And number three, for those who are serving faithful, would you be willing to step up in your faith and become a profitable servant to do those things that you're not required to do? I'm thinking right now, a very simple illustration, but I've seen it. Pastor in Mexico, the church I've been helping, said one time from the pulpit, I'm talking to church people here. He said, I don't know why you, when you're walking and you're in your church, this is your church, you serve here, you're a member of this church, and you're walking and you see a paper on the floor, and you don't pick it up. You're not required to do that. You're not getting paid for you to do that. But this is God's house. You should do that. Pretty simple illustration, but sometimes you hear in your church, are you doing those things that you're not required to do? That will increase your faith. Because the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ described here is about becoming a servant without being thankful and recognized, and also to become a profitable one. Would you like to increase your faith? That's the answer. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this admonition. Lord, I know I need to increase my faith. Lord, in my weakness, sometimes I want to complain. Lord, in my indifference, I don't want to serve you. But I thank the Lord for these examples, Lord. Perfect example to increase our faith. Help us to become a servant. Help us to forget about ourselves. Help us to become more concerned with others. And all, help us to do it for you, first of all, not for nobody else. Lord, please allow us to increase our faith by also doing those things that nobody knows. Doing our service in secret, as you described in Matthew chapter 6. Nobody knows. Nobody should know but you. Lord, I think at the judgment seat of Christ will be surprised people. Because we just see those people who are serving maybe for the wrong motive. But Lord, we'll be surprised there when we discover those giants of the faith who are doing those things to please you, first of all. Maybe not to receive recognition in return. Help us to increase our faith. Help us to be people of faith. Nobody's moving, nobody's looking. Let me ask you just one special question. It requires faith for you to become a son of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, that you have to be saved by faith. That's how you jump into this boat of Christian life, by faith. And it's by faith until you see God face to face. Perhaps somebody here said, I don't know for sure if I die today, I go to heaven. But I'd like to know how. I don't know if I'm a son of God. I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you die today that you go to heaven? If you don't know for sure, that's because you have not been born again. You have not been born of faith in the Spirit. Anybody here, preacher, pray for me. I want to be saved today. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody here? I hope everybody is saved tonight. Okay, then I want to speak to the child of God. How's your faith tonight? How's your faith? Are you serving? Maybe I should not ask how's your faith. Maybe I should ask you, are you serving in your church? Maybe I should ask you, are you serving for the right motive? Maybe I should ask you, are you doing those things that you're not required to do? You have the answer. Pastor Wash.
Heads are bowed and their eyes are closed.
Bible tells us that